Nathan Hubbard. Spring has sprung, the birds are chirping, and the pop girls are pop girling.
Nora Princiati, the pop girls are girling. What does that even mean? You wrote this trailer. I do not talk like this, Nora.
But I try so hard to teach you.
Well, here's what I do know. This spring is packed with new releases from some of the biggest pop stars in the world, including our girl, Taylor Swift.
And every single album is back to cover it all.
We'll, of course, break down every angle on the Tortured Poets Department, out April 19th. But we'll also cover new music from Beyonce, Dua Lipa, Maggie Rogers, Kacey Musgraves, Ariana Grande, and whoever else just might surprise us this spring.
It's Pop Girl Spring on every single album.
New episodes starting March 28th, just in time for Cowboy Carter, up through Dua Lipa's Radical Optimism in May.
So subscribe to every single album on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Welcome to another episode of Bakari Sellers Podcast. Today we have with us none other than Evan Turner. And this is a great guest to have during the most exciting time of the season. I love this season. I'm actually a women's basketball fan, more so than a men's basketball fan, down here in South Carolina on my way to Albany, New York this weekend to watch Sweet 16 and Elite 8, watch my girls do what they do. But we got Evan with us today. How you feeling, man?
And I'm good. I'm just chilling out a bit. Enjoying the life, you know what I mean?
What you got on your chest, man? I see a shirt that looked familiar or something, huh?
It's just an Ohio State hockey jersey. I just came from working out, so I was making a joke. Whatever I sleep in is what I worked out in. So,
look, we start each one of our shows by having our guests walk us through the arc of their careers, and you spent a decade in the NBA. You've been a coach, and now you're an entrepreneur, podcaster, the whole nine. At what point did you realize that you had to make a pivot from playing to coaching and from coaching to what you do now?
I think it was just year 10. I always had like a personal thing with myself of like when to stop. And I for sure didn't want to stop before year 10 because of all the benefits. But I also was like, all right, like when I stop being guaranteed contracts, I guess that's the sign to stop, you know, because I'm not a dude to, you know, be able to make the money I made and jump in a room for 10 days and stay there. And then some short guy that never hooped told me, thanks. You know what I'm saying? So, we don't think we can help. You can help us. It's like, wait, I've been playing basketball since I was four, little dude. So I think when that occurred, I was big on that. And I was also just like, the decade rule, I stopped at 31. And I was like, let me figure out whatever I need to throughout this whole, all my 30s. So whatever I do during my 30s, I can benefit off of in my 40s. And I think that was part of the reason just trying to get out the game and try my hand at coaching. We called it coaching. I called it like an internship to really see if I really wanted to do it, you know. And one thing that occurred was just getting a lot of respect from, giving a lot of respect for what the coaches do on the dark side and the preparation and all that. And I was just like, yo, I'm not ready in this point in my life, you know, even being a dad, to be gone 18 hours a day and, you know, really dedicating that time. So I think one thing that occurred was just taking advantage of doing what I wanted to do. And that was being my own boss and trying out, you know, different things. So myself and Andre Iguodala, we started a podcast called Point Forward.
Yeah.
And from there, we started a production company called New Amendment. So this past year, under our platform, we put out over about like 500 shows across three platforms. Yeah, so I was working with that and trying to cook up, but, you know, at the same time, expand and explore outside of an athlete's mindset. I think one thing that occurs with each chapter you go into is shedding the last chapter so you can, bloom and transform into something new, like your better self. So that's what's been a big thing for me since transitioning. It's just growing, learning more about myself away from the game of basketball and, you know, trying to put what I learned in that discipline into a new realm.
I mean, that's commendable because there aren't a lot of people who've had success at doing what you're doing, and we see them all the time. When you finished playing, you almost immediately went into coaching. Was that something you always wanted to do? And I guess kind of piggybacking off of something you just said, when your kids get older and if you get the call to coach again, is it something you do with the right opportunity?
I think with the right opportunity. One thing I'm occurring, I realize at the end of the day is energy and the environment that you're in is very important in how you approach it as well. So, like I said, with coaching, you had to mentally be there to coach. Like, it's a dirt side. There's no, like, let me figure it out. Let me hold on and do this. It's like, no, you're going dead into it. And I think further down the line, it would be something I wanted to do. But one thing I learned about the game of basketball, just being a player and a coach, was like when I was sitting there one day, it's like, wait, I'm just a talent. I don't really have the power. Like, to have like the playing power, of course, you control the game. But even as a coach, you're sitting down, still waiting for somebody up there to say, hey, is this working? Is this not working? Yeah. And that kind of really got my mindset in regards to wanting to deal with people and wanting to try to build culture. And being like, if I ever came back into it, I would love to try to be in the front office and use my knowledge in that sense.
Oh, okay. So front office. So they have to call you. They can't call you coach. They're going to call you Mr. Turner. That's what they
call. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. That would be beautiful. And obviously you have the right type of team to, be able to build some beautiful championships and not have to hit the road as much, man. Hitting the road is way different when you're getting paid $18 million as opposed to, $100 in benefits.
And it's and this generation is a little bit different too. So let's talk point forward, the reason you're here. How did it come about? What space does it feel? Because this is my thing. I know the answer to this because you and Andre are just different breeds of individual, completely different breeds of individual. And I mean that in the most positive way possible. Yeah. But how did it come about? And what space does it feel in a crowded podcast landscape? How can people find it and listen as well?
I think it came about, we met back in 2010 when he was my vet. Obviously that was when the friendship was sparked. And I think one thing that occurred was I had a couple different offers from even Tommy Alter to do a couple shows. And I just held off on it because I was waiting for Dre to do it. And when he retired, he's like, yo, just hold on. We'll do a pod together. I think one thing that was different that it came about was how we approached the landscape of basketball pods. I compare it to like the Rob Report. So when you read the Rob Report magazine, it's lavish, it's educational, mm-hmm. and it's kind of in that 1% type vibe, but it's also like meant for you to, it's motivational purposes as well. So yeah. I think when we came over there and we started having conversations and just trying to be organic to ourselves, it's like, what are we into and who are we? And we can't dial away from that. We're not too cool. We're not too, nerdy, but we can find a great blend in order to show who we are. And I think one thing that makes it so organic is just not trying to try too hard and just, building and see who shows up. One thing that occurs is I'm a big fan of Cokes, because even if it's only 40 people, those are diehard individuals more so than the trend of trying to tap dance for fans. And I think that's what really makes us individual and unique is we are who we are. We speak our mind. And whether you think so or not, we're going to come up with something more than basketball. I think basketball is what drives you in. And then, you end up seeing more things.
And that's cool because, I mean, both of you guys have diversified. And we know Andre and you both can talk about things from basketball to manhood to experiences to entrepreneurship, all of those things. And so it's just a little bit different breed of podcast. Everybody needs to go out. How can people listen to it? Where they find it?
Okay, you can find it anywhere. For one, if you want to watch this visually, it's on YouTube. And then obviously,
y'all kind of ugly to be on YouTube. Y'all got to be.
No, not even, man. Hey, this age, man, everybody's hitting, right? Every step up the plate, man. The ones I passed off, they end up marrying you guys. So I'd be like, damn, that's where you went, baby. But no. we do that. And then we just, you know, audio wise, we have YouTube, Spotify, you know, wherever you can hear your podcasts on. But I think it's a great conversation, very informational, informative. And some of our guests are really lit. I think our guests are definitely dope. We obviously have like the basketball guests, but just recently, even at South by Southwest, we interviewed Megan Rapinoe. And we were able to get, you know what I mean? Before Sam Bankman Fried went down, we were able to interview Sam Bankman Fried and Robert Smith, the richest black man in America.
Sure.
From Vista. So yeah. I think those guests and the crossover and what you learn is kind of lit. And then obviously you got two homies just, you know, cracking up and telling jokes and enjoying ourselves.
For sure.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Let's talk about basketball first, the NCAA tournament. You're a former National College Player of the Year. I guess my question is, how have you seen the college game change? And do you think the transfer portal NILs make college more exciting or more volatile, where the blue chip programs aren't always the runaway favorites in March?
Yeah, for one, I've seen it change just how the game has obviously expanded. You know, when we were going back in the day, mid-range was key. Now you got everybody shooting threes, you know what I mean? So I think that's naturally changed the pace of the game. I think kids have come in more skilled. I think
more athletic, too. I mean,
more athletic.
Kids.
I mean, shoot, these kids are jumping out to gym. I think one thing when it comes down to, like, the NIL, the transfer portal, as a player, you know, especially with your NBA, you know, dreams and sight, you hate it when you heard you transfer, you got to sit out a year. Who wants to do that? That's so detrimental and such a big deal on, like, do I stay and play for a coach or a position, situation that's not great for me? Or go somewhere and sit out a year? And it's like, I was into that when you're allowed to transfer. I just didn't realize people were going to be, you know, pulling the trigger all willy-nilly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They just leave. I mean, I'm looking at some dudes. This is their fourth school in 4 years.
No, that's what makes it super crazy. And that's where I guess you kind of feel for coaches and just even fan bases, because it's like, how do you solidify anything?
Are we going through that right now with an Ohio kid? I think he's going back to Ohio State. Meechie Johnson meant everything to us here. And I think he just hopped in a portal, blindsided us.
So, and Peep, I used to be around Meechie all the time. When I seen it, I'm like, you just had a great year, big dog. Like, shout out to Ohio State, but you left
Exactly.
I'm minding my business with it. I think everything's pro-choice. One thing that I learned, and this is me personally, and this is a real story from Coach Mata, who's at Butler. When I was thinking about transferring my freshman year, like everybody else, like, yo, they're doing me dirty. I'm supposed to be playing, da-da-da-da, all this stuff. And I remember Mata was like, look, you can leave. 1,000%. Get, like, if you want to leave, I'll let you leave. But he's like, just ask yourself this one thing. Were you ever 2 feet in? They said, if you're not 2 feet in here, you're not going to be 2 feet in there. And then elsewhere and elsewhere. And he's like, it's just going to be a path. If you don't understand, it's not like you're not good enough to play here. But, like, put your feet down and drop your balls. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes down a lot to it, when I love kids transferring, but then there's something so crazy. Like, nobody's running me out of town. Like, you're a real competitor. Like, I think that's what bothers me sometimes when you break it down. It's like, look at situation and make it make sense. But, man, you got to meet up with the Reaper eventually. Yeah. When you get to the lead, there's no running at any level. Like, only thing I don't like, it takes out the beat out. You'll beat the best and weed out the rest. Like, that's where the 10th to 1% thrive in. And that's. Sometimes when I have this conversation, I don't know anything besides go get it. So, like, sometimes, you know, when it comes time to, like, the strategic part of it, it's like I just want to support the kids the best way you can. But 4 schools in 4 years is just crazy.
It happens. I'm like I said at the beginning, I'm a huge women's basketball fan, and I think the women's game is enjoying a renaissance. Yes. Give me your take here as a student of the game. What do you think is driving the popularity of the college women's game, and is it translating to the W?
I think one thing that's occurring is I think the personalities are huge. I think we got a lot of great personalities involved in basketball. Not only from the players like Kate McClark, Angel Reese, or, you know, even some of these players like Hannah Hidalgo, but yeah. You also got dope coaches like Dawn Staley, you know, Tara Vandervit, Coach Ivy. Yeah, so when you're sitting there, even, you know, Coach McGuff from Ohio State, I think one thing that's occurring is we're finally putting a spotlight on these great young, like this great young talent, and there's doors opening. And I think these women are doing a great job of kicking down the doors, because when we're sitting there, it's been years where it's like, hey, watch this game. But like me and Dre sit down, this is like the third straight year where it's like, bro, I'm watching a female team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go watch a female game. Like, we just raved about Hannah Hidalgo the other day.
Yeah.
Like, people are going crazy for Caitlin Clark, and it's like, bro, Juju Watkins is a juice. Like, it's crazy to the point where, like, when I was a kid, I was watching Shamika Holeslaw, Diana Taurasi.
Hey, them girls can hoop.
Bro, I fell in love with Sue Bird, bro. Like, Pat Summitt was up there with Coach K for me. Like, it's a renaissance. I think the world is ready for everything that's going on. I think the WNBA is going to, you know, be even more lit. And, it's been fun. I've been to a bunch of, you know, WNBA games. The best game I've ever seen in my life, and one of them was Game 5, 2016 Finals. You know what I'm talking about, Minnesota versus Sparks.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Again, the Lynx had that dynasty run in them. That was a great game.
Man, that was – they didn't call. They messed up on that one call for the sake of viewership, and I wasn't mad, but it's like, come on now, baby. But – I love the women's game. I love everything that's going on for it. I just hope the momentum just keeps up for the sake of these young women, because they go hard, they go crazy, and like their talent level is unreal.
How often do you think about the Sweet 16 game against Tennessee?
Bro, me and David Leidy talk about that all the time.
Coach Meyer, that was a much better team.
Yeah, no, we were for sure. We just got in foul trouble. I mean, we should have. Coach Meyer always says, like, besides like Greg and them, and then like the 2011 team, he always says we missed out on the championship. We should have had, if we would have won that, we would have took out Northern Iowa, beat the shit out of Butler. Michigan State or Butler, whoever it was, and then beat Duke in the championship. I think about that every day. I thought we had the best lineup in the country. Even though I was player of the year, I played with 3 other guys averaging 15. And we just had unbelievable talent where it clicked. So I think that was one thing where I don't say I deserve anything, but I think that group deserved to leave and hoist the trophy up, because when you break it down, shout out to Duke, but come on, bro, that team was terrible. You know, shout out to Duke, but that team was horrible.
I hear you. So give me your final four this year, men and women.
Men and women. Sure. I'm going let me go UConn.
Shit, I can ask, is that men or women or both?
Well, shit, both. Let me do that. That's both. That's lit. UConn. But for men, I got Purdue, UConn, Let's see my turn. Where I got? I got North Carolina. And it was at Houston.
Houston, yeah. So you got all four times. You got all four onesies.
Yeah, and I hate being that guy. But this was one of the years you just played out in that sense. I believe in Zach Edey.
I think UConn and Purdue are by far the best two teams in the country.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, UConn, and I love Matt Painter, but Hurley, he's at a different level, G.
He's crazy.
And even when you break down that team is good, but that team, are they really good or is it a culture?
Yeah.
You got seven or eight dudes just playing it. Bro, those dudes are killers, bro. I mean, when you do the pedigree, his dad's an animal. Shout out to OG Hurley. I'm looking forward to that. And then for the women's joint, man, damn. Like, Stanford squeaked away the other night.
They did.
I did not. And shout out to Stanford. Love them to death. Iowa squeaked away the other night.
Correct.
All right, man. Give me UConn. Give me South Carolina.
Of course.
Man, I love Miss Mulkey, Coach Mulkey.
Oh Lord. So you can either have Kim, you can either have Mulkey or Iowa. They're in the same region. So you can't have both.
I'm not playing around, bro. Mulkey and all of them, bro. Stop playing. All right. Kick that out the region. And then where Hidalgo at?
She in South Carolina. She in ours.
Damn.
So the other one is Stanford, Texas. Those are probably gonna be the two people that
I give Stanford, G.
Yeah, I think that I'm not.
The freshman just went crazy the other day. Kiki.
Kiki, Kiki Irfin. Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, but she went for a 40 piece with ease.
And a couple of them, I'm like, y'all better be lucky there weren't no female, because she would have dumped them. She was hooping like, am I tripping? She was hooping like Asia Wilson, low-key.
She plays just like Asia.
All right, good. I was sitting there like, man. And then Dimitri, when she stepped up and hit that three.
Oh, yeah. They were trading them, too. That was a good game. That was a real good game.
Yeah, and I'm just glad, I forgot her name, a big girl. She won Cameron the best. Brink. Yeah, Cameron Brink. I'm glad it wasn't her last game. Big Cameron Brink fan. To go out on a foul out, you asked me what I thought about like what happened versus Tennessee. She would have remembered that for the rest of her life, you know?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So switching up to the NBA and looking at potential playoff matchups, talk to me about the West, man, because I hear people screaming on my TV. I can't be listening to First Take and all that shit. They just be screaming at me. But every morning they argue about the Lakers, the Warriors, the Suns. They could miss the playoffs in the West. Are we seeing a changing of the guards from Steph, LeBron, and KD to people like Jokic, Zion, Ant, and the best player in the NBA is SGA?
Man, yeah, and it's killing me. It is killing me. Every time I see them losing them, I die a little bit. You know what I mean? My athletic talent leaves, and I start getting gray hair. It's wild. It's wild. I equate it to the time where, like, Tom Brady and Drew Brees were ready to move on. And me included to a certain extent. You talk about these generational athletes.
Yeah.
But at one point, like, these – shout out to Brian, but when you sit there, if the game's going as going, like, should we have sent them off to the pasture in year 17 if it was really working how it was working? You know what I mean? And not in a negative sense. I'm just saying, like, even them looking at it and just tipping their head and being like, okay, the game is in good hands. Like, right now, I mean, you got Anthony Edwards, SGA, the whole OKC team is crazy.
They too small to win a championship. They get beat on the board sometimes.
Are you talking about
OKC? Yeah, they need a big.
You talking about winning a chip?
Yeah, winning a chip. Oh, I'm not changing out a guard. No, I know changing out a guard.
Oh, that's what you meant. Oh, I don't know about that now. Like, now during the regular season, it's hard to. When champions, man, you can't knock champions. When you sit there, I think LeBron says something. If I walk into your building, game one, you're going to have a problem on your hands. Like with Steph Curry won that last championship on his own. Going shooting 90-50-40 against the defensive player of the year, and Clay and Draymond were nowhere to be found. So I think one thing that happens, not in a disrespectful sense, but even like with Dame, like these dudes are like real pros, real vets, and real elite. Like to face them for a week is no easy task.
Every morning you got to wake up and play them again. You don't even get a break.
Yeah, so I gotta see it. Obviously, I'm sold on the Denver Nuggets. I think Jokic, obviously. Is going after this year, have to argue it's like one of all time greats. But other than that, man, I still like Brian and Steph's last chances. Like, I got to see OKC in Sacramento. They had a chance last year to take them out. Like, you got to do it. Even Timberwolves, like, you're going to face one of them? Like, I'll say that after you do it, after you take them out.
Timberwolves got a heart problem, though, man. They got one dog on their team, and I'm not sure those big boys got dog in them. I'm not sure Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert got dog in them like Ant does, but I don't know about them two big boys.
Yeah, but when you break it down, and I also, too, we take for granted. Even like last, they said AD played in like 92 of his last 100 games. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when you sit there, you're like, damn, everybody been harassing this man about not being available and how soft he is. But then when you zoom in, you're like, I mean, is it a dog or like, I mean, these boys been going crazy for 4 or 5 years straight. And sometimes you might not have like the, you just need an alpha dog to go with a couple of dogs. And I think that's what, you know, that's what matters. It's just shit.
Yeah, you never lie. If you were GM, tapping into your future real quick, I'm going to let you get out of here in a minute. But if you were GM, would you, after this year, would you blow up the Suns, Lakers, and Warriors?
I wouldn't blow up the Warriors because they built it. I'm okay with them going down how they go down. I think it's already unwritten. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I think they should have shipped Draymond off already. But
it's over now. Like, got rid of Jordan, like, once you didn't, like.
Yeah.
This is what bothers me about the Warriors sometimes. Like, those dudes are they benefited sometimes from having people move on. And I feel like sometimes part of the game is just you move on. Like, that's part of what it goes on. And, like, when dudes didn't take the step back, there's only one superstar that should still be starting. That was kind of crazy. So I think if they don't want to stay or the numbers aren't good, I would trade them. I would break up the Warriors because certain dudes are going to garner what they believe they're owed. And that kills a team. Like, Danny Ainge would never do no shit like that.
Ever. He'd pack you up and send you on your way.
Yeah, and shout out to Dunleavy, man. They threw the gun in your lap. Bob Myers, you a genius. But I'd love to see a man get away, all right? And then when they break down the Lakers, and that's it's like when they try to trade D. Russ. Like, what are you going to blow it up and go get? Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, there's no arms right now. They went and got Spencer Dinwiddie. What are you gonna get? Like that's what I be asking people. It's like all the good players are locked in. Where are you gonna go get a player? Now with the Suns, shout out the Suns, but like, nah, dog, you gotta blow that up. But like, yeah, I think before the season they had them for sure. Like,
yeah,
like one favorites to be in the finals versus Celtics, dog.
Yeah.
It's 340 points for it, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, you probably have to blow that up. You know what I mean? Because I just think when it comes to personalities, you say like the soft or where's the heart at. Like, not even knock where the heart at, and they've been like hurt and stuff. But like, if you look at Minnesota, should Minnesota be running things?
They are, though. Minnesota, OKC. Let's talk about the East real quick before I get you out of here.
All right, for sure.
The teams we're used to growing up on, the Pacers and the Knicks, et cetera. But now it's the Bucks and the Celtics that run the East, and you're seeing the Pacers and the Magic. How do you see this shaking out? It's all Bucks, right? I'm not tripping, am I?
I got the Celtics, bro.
You think the Celtics beat the Bucks?
I want Dame. If Dame has a ball more, for sure, I think the Bucks have a chance. It just comes down, like, a lot of this stuff in the season, my personal opinion, comes down to 4 minutes or, like, a week's worth of work. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and, like, sometimes when you just do history, it's like, who are they going to really give the ball to? Are people going to get out the way? And, you know what I mean? If D-Wade was tripping on LBJ and being like, no, this is my team, this is my team. It's like, who are they going to give the ball to? Is everybody going to play their role?
Yeah.
You know? Like, they just gave up a 27-point lead last night without Bron. You can't do that.
That's true. Tell me about what you think about the Magic and the Knicks, though. Where they at?
Man, I love the Magic bouncing back. I think I think their toughness and their culture is everything. I think they're going to make a splash. Saying when you're first, you know, win a first round is pretty tough, but I think they'll make some noise, and their franchise is definitely turned around, and obviously the Knicks got the trap back jumping. That's an understatement. I love the Knicks. Big fan of Jaylen Brown. If Julius Randle would have passed the damn ball to the corner, he wouldn't have dislocated his shoulder. Dante DiVincenzo is one of my favorites. You gotta love how Josh Hart plays.
Anytime I know some people listening to the show that can't hit 11 3-pointers in the gym by themselves.
That's what I'm saying. When you break it down as well, I'm a big fan because he played so hard for the Bucks and he helped them get that culture going too. He just got hurt. Pat Connaughton and my man took his spot. The dude that be tripping people from Duke. He's with the Suns.
Grayson Allen.
And when you sit there,
you got a lot of Duke hate in your heart. I hear that.
No, I ain't got no – man, one of my favorite players is Jay Williams. I call it a real Fab Five, and people are going to hate me. Don't quote this. But, Jay Will, Duhon, Dunleavy, Boozer. Like, when I was a kid, like, to me, that was the best five I had ever seen in my life in college. So, like, Jay Will, like, should I cry when he crashed that motorcycle?
Man, we all did. Jay Will was a dog. We ain't seen – I saw that Jay Will, that Duke-Maryland game, when they went to College Park and came back from 10 down.
Miracle Minute. I remember my dad, before we get out of here, because I was a big Jason Williams fan, White Chocolate. And my dad was like, this is who you should like. This is Jay Williams. I'm like, but dad, he's in college. He's like, he's a scorer and a shooter. And if you go to the rack, he's putting it on your head. He's like, that's all you need. If you're a scorer and a shooter, he's like, literally, he's a scorer and a shooter. There's never an off night for him.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's what we missed out on. That's really what we missed out on.
Been one of the greatest ever. Evan Turner, thank you for joining the Bakari Sellers podcast. Tell people how they can follow you on your socials.
Yeah, you can check me out on Twitter. I'm at TheKidET, TheKidET. And then for Instagram, it's just Evan Turner, EVANTURNER. And no hate mail, no nudes. Never show.
Now check out his OnlyFans. Anyway.
Yeah, right.
All right, thank you for joining the show. Peace, my brother.
Appreciate you, man. Love.